side cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Sing it.
Song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind.
Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Friday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. That is how you get in touch with me, your show host. A few outlying texts, or outstanding text, I should say. I will get to those hopefully before the conclusion of this morning's program. Joining us now, we haven't heard from him a whole lot. He's been pretty busy, but that is perfectly understandable. Our friend, State Senator Greg Allbritton, joining us on the line here. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am well. I am well. It's good to hear from you. Have you caught your breath yet? We've been out a few days. Is it? You've got your sea legs back on you back at home?
Of course, sea legs are appropriate for this Navy guy. Yeah, we're good to go.
Well, that's good to hear. It's kind of, tell me what you think of this. And I talked to your counterpart, Senator Orr, with the Education Trust Fund, and they're sitting on a surplus over there, and everybody's coming with their hand out, and they're trying to capitalize on the surplus. But you guys, a lot of it was, he thought, maybe you and him don't see eye to eye on this, but that a lot of this stuff is inappropriate to ask for the Education Trust Fund. Go across the hallway there. Go talk to my counterpart, Senator Allbritton, with the general fund. And watching it was kind of like playing goalkeeper almost, with everybody coming with their hand out wanting something from you guys. But that's the way it looked to me throughout the 2023 session with the budgeting process.
And that's an accurate observation. Government money, the last thing to do with government money is to hold it. The easiest thing to do is to spend it, and everybody has great projects that need all the money.
Yeah, and the problem with coming to you guys, you just don't have as much, so you have to settle for maybe not, you know, quite what a lot of these guys ask for. And I think the Montgomery delegation really upset about that Gateway Water Projects thing. But at least they got something, right?
Well, they got a little bit. That's true. That's true, yeah. There were two to three senators that needed some assistance with that, and we were able to get a little bit there.
Well, looking at this session, I mean, there's some big accomplishments, I think. I guess for you, the Alabama Trust Fund, kind of walk us through some of the highlights of 2023.
Well, 2023 was all about the money, the excess money, and that came from basically two major sources. Number one is from our own conservative handling of things so that we don't spend every dime. And number two is the federal infusion of more money from just the printing presses. And we had to deal with that. As you know, that started with the CARES Act that came along. Then we had the ARPA 1 and the ARPA 2, both of which have been completed, but the ARPA 2 completed the first of March, the first week or two of March, which kicked this off. And then we had all the excess that was there, not to mention the regular budgets that had to get taken care of too. So it was all about money, handling it, trying to determine where the needs were, and always with the key, the idea is to plan and to invest in the future rather than trying to cover the past.
Well, and I suppose the idea would be to try to limit number of new programs or the future obligations for future legislatures.
Well, that's correct. And one of the biggest issues that we have on the state level is very often a county or an agency will go in and get a federal funding, get a federal grant, okay, to do something. And the first thing they do is hire personnel. And they'll keep them for 2 to 3 years as long as that money lasts. And when the federal money goes away, then the next thing they come to is to the state and say, hey, we need this money now to continue this program. It unfortunately has worked too many times. I'm trying to put the brakes on those as much as we possibly can, but the bureaucracy and others is a difficult fight.
Well, the bureaucracy always is looking. I mean, it's just, I guess, a natural human tendency, right, to come and
ask. Yeah, it
is.
It is, yeah.
And that's just when people look at your position as a budget chairman, yeah, you're very powerful. But, a lot of it is just the power is used to keep some of that in check, it seems.
Well, I guess that's one thing that you could use. I don't see it as powerful. I see it as more responsibility, trying to keep things at bay as much as you can, and trying to make sure that we don't waste money.
Well, that's sort of what I meant. I mean, maybe powerful, but you get a lot of responsibilities, and yeah, it's a senior position, and it comes with. You know, people think, well, you get the money and you get to control the ebb and flow, but it looks like you try to be reasonable with these requests. And yeah, there's good and bad with that, but there's so much more of it. And I saw it this session, and maybe because there was so much money floating around, but I saw it more this session than I have any other, that it's just having to tell people no a lot.
Oh yeah, and as chairman, my job is to sift through all of this, and get to the point of where you can present it to the committee. Then you got to get the committee vote, and then you got to get the full body to vote for it, and then you got to convince in some way the other legislative body to go along with it. Not to mention the governor. So there's and that's the way government should be, is carefully controlled, many voices involved, and have the public money dealt with with all eyes on it. It's not like a business where the CEO makes the decision and everybody does it. It's not even close to that.
And then the other thing you probably have to deal with sometimes, that people try to go around you, I guess, and try to make it happen anyway, which that becomes problematic, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's always fun. Anticipating, knowing when that's come, and trying to avoid the blind sides as much as possible. Yeah.
Yeah, watching that is another thing. It's just amazing. It's shameless sometimes, I would say. Senator, let's move on from that. I would think if you look about regrets and you know, you have to look at gambling and not really taking a shot at that this year. But I think the speaker downstairs made it be known that he didn't really want to deal with it with all these new members. Well, now that session's over, what are you looking at? I think it's inevitable that something big is proposed in the coming months.
Well, I hope so. House members, the speaker set up a subcommittee of some type in the House, and they've been working on it. And according to his statements, they've been meeting weekly and giving him updates weekly and that type thing. They haven't clued me in on all of their movements, but it appears like they're going down the exact same path that we've gone a number of years before. And they probably will wind up in close to the same place we were before. At least that's the appearance. So we'll see how it goes. But you're correct. This has to be dealt with. And I don't know if you saw the speaker's last comments, I think, on APT, where he was. I feel like I've got a conversion, okay? He was talking about how we needed to get control of the industry and we needed to regulate and we needed to benefit. He was using the same playbook I'm using, but that's fine. I appreciate it. But we just need to get this moving and going.
Well, and that's, you know, that's been the problem these last few sessions, though. It's just you guys would get stuff done and then it would go die in the House. So maybe this time around, if you get something going in the House, then it gives you something you guys can work with and y'all can come to some kind of agreement.
We hope so. That's one of the reasons I stepped back to leave this alone. I shot my mouth off a lot, but that was simply out of frustration. And I can understand. This is a difficult, complicated issue in industry, and volatile and emotional, and a lot of people are concerned with it. But you got to educate yourself on this. You've got to learn about it. And there has been an unwillingness to do that by many down there. So I hope we're making that headway.
Well, and you know, is it still comprehensive is the way to go? I mean, you know, you hear simple lottery, but I've seen this play before. It's just not something the people don't understand how the chamber works, and that you got to have a super majority. So to get to that vote total, you got to make a lot of different people happy, and you're always going to have some never gamers in the Republican caucus. They're going to vote no, always. So that makes the process a little more challenging, but you think it's got to be more than just a simple lottery bill. It's going to have to be something bigger.
I think it's got to be something bigger. The market will not allow anything different from that from occurring. From my experience, there's too many hands in this pie already, and there's too many interests and dependencies on this. And the other side is, if you do a lottery, you still got to do a constitutional amendment. Okay, you got to deal with Section 65 of the Constitution, which makes this illegal. So they got to deal with that. And if you undo a CA, a large CA, how does that affect these other 19 local CAs that are floating around? Do you just allow them to continue to operate without regulation? Do you bring them in? That's why this has got to be comprehensive, is you're dealing with the constitutional amendment. And my idea and concept is to have one CA, one constitutional amendment, and by so doing, eliminating all the others so that you can prevent the competition and confusion and have one agency in control. I hope they go that route. We'll see.
Now, the governor had her task force a few years back. You gotten any sense of where she is, or how much do you think she needs to play a role in this process?
We've had those discussions, and the governor is similar in mind. She understands and knows that we've got to have a comprehensive bill, and her task force that came along also came along with that same recommendation. We've got to have a comprehensive bill. So I think that's the route that we need to go to. Now, whether the House is convinced of that or not, I do not know. But whatever they start, it's got to go through the legislative process, and we'll wind up, I hope, with a good bill that'll pass.
And you know, it's all the casino gaming. Well, tell me this, and I guess you're watching the hardships for Macon County and Greene County. They just finally the law caught up with them here. Does that change does that change the landscape? Are you dealing with a different set of circumstances? Let's say when Senator Marsh brokered his deal or whatever, do you think that makes it more or less likely? What do you think is going to happen because of that?
Well, first off, let me clarify something, okay? What caught up to them was the back taxes, okay? I don't know if you realize this or not, but the efforts to shut down everything failed under Governor Riley. They continued moving on. But there was a decision back in 08, 09, and so where as Greene County or Greene Track, one of those, it was determined owed taxes on the transactions. And that went through a long process. And a tribunal from the Revenue Service said, okay, you don't owe it. It was not taxable. Well, we appealed that. We took that and appealed that to to the Alabama Supreme Court, and they overturned that and said, no, the taxes are owed. So you have to begin paying taxes. These are taxable transactions. Well, now it's been 12 years since that occurred, and the accumulation. So it's over right about $100 or so million bucks that they owe. So they determined that. So now they're moving and changing the model. They're moving from the electronic one-armed bingo bandits, and they're going to the one-armed historical racing bandits, okay, which they claim, according to an attorney general's opinion, is not taxable. So they're trying their best to figure out how to do that. It was requiring more investment and also concerns. So it's not because law enforcement has come out and tried to shut them down. It's a point that we've come out and said, you owe us money, and they're scrambling trying to figure out how to deal with that. So that complication is not going to shut them down. It's already creating matters. They're reorganizing and getting ready to come back with those things that they claim are untaxable and still legal. Again, they're recreating. We've got to get a grasp of this.
Well, that just underscores your argument. Because every time they face some kind of hurdle, be it through the courts or even the legislature or whatever it may be, there's always a way around it, it seems. And that's, I guess,
of course,
the comprehensive
private industry always moves faster than government. Okay, and particularly when you're dealing with CAs and the confusion in this industry. Hence, that's why we've got to have comprehension in this endeavor. We've got to control the whole thing, and we've got to give the agency the ability to maneuver by rulemaking to capture all these supposed changes. We've got to bring some stability in this, and we've got to benefit from it, and we've got to regulate it heavily.
Senator, we're out of time, but I enjoy getting you on. I hope we get you on more in the future now that you got a little spare time. But thanks for making time for us.
Anytime. You know, if you had a better personality, it'd probably be better.
Hey, that is not a – is that a shot at yours truly?
No, not hardly.
All right, Senator Albritton, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5. The one who drives the big rig.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing. And a youngin's dream of growing up to ride.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for sticking around. What's left of this Friday morning? Coming up on Monday, we'll have State Representative Jennifer Fiddler of the Silver Hill will be with us, my state legislator. You put a finishing touch on the session. And Dale Jackson of Yellowhammer and WVNN in Huntsville fame will be with us, and a guest to be named later. Still kind of doing a little bit of a triage on the 2023 session, and obviously we have a special session looming with yesterday's Supreme Court decision. Coming up here shortly, Sean Sullivan of Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got for him today?
Hey, Jeff. Coming up in about half an hour or so, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl joins us to talk about, of course, the Supreme Court ruling on the redistricting for Alabama, what it means for him, what it means for Southwest Alabama. We'll get into that, plus ask him about the Trump indictment and, the FBI seemingly now paying attention to maybe what happened with the Biden family. We'll get into that coming up in the first hour, plus constitutional quiz on the way as well. A chance for fabulous prizes and cash for showing off your constitutional knowledge. That and a whole lot more on the way on Midday Mobile.
Well, I was listening to you a little bit yesterday. How you feel about a super southern congressional district soon coming?
A couple things. I mean, it depends on what map, right? I mean, I'm looking at some of the maps from before. A couple takeaways I had. Number one, it would be to the people to the north and east of the districts, right, 1 and 2, the chance of them having one of their people end up being the member of Congress for 1 or 2 is probably weak. That power is going to be centralized in the southwest, at least the fundraising will. I mean, there's probably always a surprise in the mix. But number two, you know, it's what about – and I'll ask the congressman about this, but the geography of an area. I know that that's not a critical function of a congressional district, but, you know, Dauphin Island to Dothan, do we lose some of the congruity of the district? I think that's worth talking about as well.
Yeah, you get to go through Florida to get from one end to the other, right?
That's right.
And that just seems weird. I mean, you could theoretically go, but it takes about an hour longer, and I've done both, going from Dothan to Mobile, but you hurry going back and forth. It's a member of Congress. You lose a little bit there.
For sure.
Yeah, anyway. I have to get out of here. It has been a pleasure, as always. We will try to do better, and maybe I can work with that personality of mine sometime over the weekend. So I will do better on Monday. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Boers Show on FM Talk 106.5. This is